You're listening to the Girl Next Door podcast. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Erica. We're two former next door neighbors and good friends who love a good chat and a good laugh. We're inviting you to come on in, have a drink, and stay a while. Hey, friend.
Hey, friend. We have a bonus episode today all about our in-person book club. We thought our book club deserved its own episode because how our book club started and how it works are some of the most common questions we get. Plus, we are very passionate about our book club. But before we talk all about book club, let's both share what's happening around the neighborhood.
Okay. In my neighborhood, my house, we are prepping for the 2021-2022 homeschool year. So I've been sharing lots of goodies over on Instagram. If that is your jam and you are wondering what we're doing, or if you're just nosy like me and like watching what other people are doing.
I just love to see all of your planning.
It's so fun. And it's the best
enthusiasm.
Part.
Enthusiasm. It is great.
So yeah, I think we have all of our curriculum pieces in place now for the new school year, which I started that process like back in March. So
wow,
it feels like, yeah, I've sat with some of it for a while and dug in a little bit, and it's going to all work out well, I think. And so I'm excited to be going into this school year with less like, how the hell do I do this?
Yes.
You know, like, oh, this, I just decided this last week. This right. is happening 4 weeks from now. Yeah. So I've had all this time to see what's working and what's not. And even
you've got your system.
Yeah. It's just really nice to go in with like a little bit of confidence that like, I know more where they're at and what they need and what they don't need and what works for them. And so that's been really cool. And yeah, all of the new shiny books and supplies, like the smell of it is
always
just,
feels so
it's
good.
Just my favorite.
So when I have just done a couple of errands recently, just seeing the school supply areas in the store set up is just bringing me joy. Well, in my neighborhood and at my house, I am so excited to share that Maeve is walking.
Yay. We have a walker.
We have a little toddler. She walked just before she turned 15 months. Both of my boys were kind of on the earlier walking side. Cedric walked at 9.5 months.
Oh my gosh.
Which that is a walking baby.
Yes, which is terrifying.
Yes. So anyway, so I've never just had a crawler for so long. I just have always found that once a kid starts walking, I do just find it just gets easier.
Like physically.
Easier. Honestly, my back was hurting all the time from carrying her so much. They're just on the ground. It's kind of gross. It was honestly hard to dress her because it's hot, but I didn't want to put her in shorts because she's crawling on our tile floor all the time. Just all of those things. It's just such a delight to be in a room and to have her like toddle into the room.
Oh, so cute.
Anyway, I am just absolutely loving it. It's a very fun new chapter. What is also exciting about that is now that she is walking, she can start some part-time childcare.
Yes.
And this is going to change my life.
Yeah. Thank you, Maeve, for finally getting with the program so that my life can change.
That was kind of a funny thing, her being the like later walker. Like there are some things that just gets easier in these parenting ways, like I shared, but then there was like also the added like pressure of, but I can't have childcare until you're walking.
Yeah, but for real, please walk.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so I am just really looking forward to that in anticipating having a third baby. I had really been thinking that by the time she was about a year, I would have like at least a babysitter or some kind of part-time childcare program. And of course, many things did not go according to plan. And so, yes, that will just be a great change in my life.
Yeah. How often is she going now?
She is going to start in a few weeks, and she'll be going 2 days a week for like school day hours.
Perfect.
So I am nervous just about the transition, her just being a shy pandemic baby.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little nervous about that, but I have complete confidence in the care and love that she will get. I know we'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get to that point. So
getting through that, that rough spot a little bit.
Yep.
Good. It's so exciting.
Yes. Okay. On to talking about our book club. So first let me share how our book club originated, because neither of us started it. Our book club was founded in 2007 by our friend Becky. Originally, the group was on a website called meetup.com, which I'm pretty sure is still around. So Becky started the book club because she loved to read and wanted to discuss books with other women. And that is how the Casual Book Club for Women, that's our official name, was born. So when the book club was listed on meetup.com, it was listed as a women's book club in the East Valley of Phoenix, which is where Gilbert, our town, is located. Anyone could request to be a member, and then you'd get the information about when and where the book club was meeting and what we were reading. Once you were in the book club, you could ask to invite someone that you knew, but it did start out just bringing together people who didn't know each other before. Mm-hmm. So that's how it all started. We'll talk more about how our book club has changed during the years when we talk about logistics a little bit later. But let's each share how we came to be part of our book club, as well as some of our favorite things about or memories of book club.
Okay, you share first because you were a member first.
Okay, so I had moved to Gilbert in July of 2008 to live with Chris after grad school. I had always loved to read, and I just thought that being in a book club sounded like the epitome of sophistication and like having your life together as an adult. It was just like something I always dreamed that maybe one day I could do. plus, I had had so little time to read during my graduate program. I was just so excited to have time for that again. So one day at my super boring job, I Googled around and found the meetup.com listing for the casual book club for women. And that
Isn't
was
that crazy.
Yes, what do you think about it? It really is. And so my first meeting was October 2008. And we read the book Rebecca, which I can recommend.
Okay.
It's like a little creepy and suspenseful.
Yeah. There's a movie that just came out, right?
Oh, is
like
there
a Netflix movie? I think something
I would watch that.
Okay. So you joined in 2008.
Yep.
So 5 years later.
Oh my gosh.
So this is, and we didn't move here till 2009. So I met you in 2009 because the universe planted us next door to each other. And then I creeped and waited with bated breath for Kelsey to invite me because they were very full at the time.
That's
there was
right.
like, it had grown from people adding new members, and it was kind of like, okay, let's cap it for now. And I would hear tales of this book club, and I too thought it was the epitome of having your life together to join one. And so actually a few members were dropping off, and so they had an opening in 2013.
Oh, okay.
And you invited me, and I tried to play it cool. Like I wasn't waiting around invite that whole time, but I totally was. So in May of 2013, I joined, and my first book was not good. It was The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Woe by Juno Diaz.
Okay.
No, I don't think any of us liked it, but it was like, okay, but these people are delightful and they have opinions that they share. Oh, like we actually talked about the book because I had tried to be in a book club before where it was a little too casual.
Yeah.
Like we didn't actually talk about the book at all and just drank wine.
Right.
Which is fine, but not a book club.
Right. Yeah.
So like this, I liked that we were having intelligent conversations about what we liked and didn't like. Also, our other spiciest member joined at the same time
I
did.
Love that.
And so I was like, oh yeah, this is like, this is my,
these are my people.
Yeah. It just was really good. So
I love that. So sharing a few like favorite things about book club and memories. I mean, just the friendships and comfort that I feel being together with everyone. I love that mix of discussing a book. Like you said, we always actually do discuss the book, and that is a primary thing of what we do when we're together. But then having these friendships, we're getting to catch up on life. And I love getting to see so many friends like all at one time. I mean, it's just honestly like this very efficient way to have these friendships, because otherwise you'd be coordinating with like all these different people. So I love that. I also love so much how we can have really different opinions on books. Some of us can absolutely love something and then someone will hate it.
Yeah.
And I love that about books. Like they all hit people differently, depending on just what you like and don't like, depending on your season of life. And so I love bringing that all together. I think for that reason, I have especially loved the times when we have all just really loved a book. And the one that stands out to me is Where the Crawdads Sing. We all said we loved that book.
Yeah.
We have a picture of that night together too.
And we all happened to be there that night.
We were all there. We all loved the book. That felt like golden book club meeting. Uh-huh. So that was really great. I do also have two memories of note that I want to share. One is that our book club actually Skyped with Glennon Doyle mm-hmm. in the summer of 2014 for a discussion of her book, Carry On Warrior. At that time, I mean, Glennon Doyle was like still wildly popular, but you know, now I think she is even more so. And at that time you could like sign up to have your book club have a Skype discussion mm-hmm. with her. So we did that and that was really cool. And we have one book club member friend in particular who just loves Glennon so much. Mm-hmm. And so it was just really fun to like see her get to have that experience. Mm-hmm. Also, this is random, but it's just a really funny book club memory about someone ruining the ending of books. And this happened a long time ago when the book club still met at Barnes & Noble, and there were a lot of members who are no longer part of book club. So this was the person who did this is no longer part of book club. So we had read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and we had finished talking about the book, and then people were kind of mentioning, oh yeah, there's a couple more books like mm-hmm. in this trilogy and whatever. And some people were saying, oh yeah, I like this book, so I think maybe I'll read those. And then one woman then proceeds to launch into a complete description of what happens in the book. And I don't know if this is actually how it happened, but what I remember, the way I remember it, is that just all of us sitting there in silence as we all realized that she had just ruined those books for everyone. And just like a collective like, oh.
And that's why she's no longer in book club.
Yeah, I just always remember that. I was like, well, all right, I guess none of us are reading those. That's
so funny. Yeah, because we'll even say sometimes, like, if someone hasn't finished the book but really wants to, we'll be like, oh, do you want any spoilers? Because you can talk about a book without necessarily talking about the ending if it wasn't, you know, remarkable. So we'll even say, like, we're just kind of considerate that way. Like,
exactly.
And someone will say, no, that's okay. I think I'll finish it, mm-hmm. but it's okay if I know the ending. Right. I just am curious to, you know. But that's like breaking a cardinal rule of book club, I feel.
It really was.
Okay, something I love about it is the fact that it is just the same Wednesday of every month. It's the second Wednesday of every month in an outside, well, this has changed a little bit because of COVID, but usually an outside of somebody's home location. Mm-hmm. We've done Barnes & Noble and we did an Irish pub for mm-hmm. a while. It just gives, nobody has to worry about hosting.
Yes.
You know when it's going to be, so you can plan around it. It's not, there's not all the logistical coordinating of that. So that's something that I just love about it. I just love that this, like, it's this standby, like this thing I can count on. Mm-hmm. And you've talked about this before too, and it's so true. It's like this comfort to know, like, at least once a month, I'm going to mm-hmm. get out with other smart women and have adult conversation, especially in those like little kid years where it's just like, dude, mm-hmm. I need a book and a beer like none other right
to
now.
To be away from the house.
Yeah. And a specific memory that I have is when we found out we were getting the girls, mm-hmm. You guys have like all done kind of like baby shower things or been involved in each other's mm-hmm. baby showers. And it's just different with book club we had had, or with adoption, obviously. So I was kind of waiting to find out. And I was just so overwhelmed, like headache, like just so emotional, so tired from getting everything all set up. And I wasn't going to go to book club that night. And they're like, please, come on, we have a little something for you. And I was like, okay, like dragged mm-hmm. my tired. I mean, I can't even imagine what I looked like self. I don't know if we had the girls yet or if we had just found out about them, but I just remember being exhausted. And I show up and there's pink cupcakes and like balloons and just like a little tiny mm-hmm. celebration and this acknowledgement, like you have your girls or you're getting your girls soon. I don't even really remember. It was such a fog, but just feeling so, you know, we're gathering for books, but we've walked through a lot of life together as a result. And it's been really cool to have this thing to keep coming back to that then connects us to other mm-hmm. parts of each other's lives. Yeah. And it's just a very supportive crew that randomly met up literally over books. And so it's just really cool.
Yes. That is reminding me of another memory that I have to share. And that is, it was my first book club meeting after having had Dash. Mm-hmm. So you're a new mom, like, in that
everything
fog,
is hard.
What is happening with my life? I mean, I think this was maybe even like the first outing I'm sure that I'd had mm-hmm. away from him, like away from the house for any kind of extended period of time. So I parked, I went in, I was there a little bit early. I was sitting there and then our friend Jen got there and she was like, hey, Kelsey, I think I saw your car. I think you left your lights on. So I was like, oh gosh, okay. I went out to the parking lot. I had left my car on.
Just fully on.
Just fully on. Just had pulled up, parked, and walked into book club. And that is the state of mind that I was at. Like the Prius, you know, it's kind of quiet.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to walk away from it. And so I just always remember that, like, being so indicative of my state of mind.
Like how tired you were.
Yes. And I just love that I, just left my car running in the parking lot at book club.
Had your back.
Sure did. Okay, next let's get into the logistics of how our book club works. There are definitely lots of ways to have a successful book club, so ours is not the only way, but we do think that how our book club runs has contributed to it lasting for over a decade and fostering friendships. Mm-hmm. So I will share, there are some rules of book club which have not changed since Becky created it, and this is like a little short paragraph that she had on the meetup site, and now we'll talk about this later. Now we just have a private Facebook group, but this is what she has written. This book club is casual. The rules: don't no-show and visit this site at least once every 4 months or be removed for inactivity, are to better the group as a whole, but the environment is very welcoming and laid back. If you don't want to read the book of the month, don't. If you do, do. We don't have English professor prepared questions. This is simply a time to unwind with some smart, friendly women who love reading as much as you do.
Love that.
And that really says, that really says it all.
And I love that it, again, like I said, not as casual as some though. Like there is still a book focus, which is good. If you're interested in books and you want to talk about books with people.
Exactly. I feel like there's enough structure that I feel like that has really what's helped it like continue on, in terms of like, if you're going to be part of this group, like be part of this group, you know, like we know life stuff comes up, but if you're not here for like 6 months and we haven't heard from you, then book club might not be a priority right now for you. But I do love the casualness in terms of you don't have to have read the book to come to book club. Come, we still want to see you. Okay, let's talk about how many people are in our book club and how like new people join.
Okay.
I guess I will say, originally, I talked about people came through meetup.com, and the size of the book club has definitely gone up and down over the years. I remember one meeting a long time ago where we had so many people, we had to split into two groups to have a discussion. Yeah. And I think that was like, okay, this is too big, you know? I really have found, it does seem like, I don't know, that like 7 to 10 anything over that and almost 10 is almost getting a little too much. Like that's almost enough where the group sometimes splits into like two separate conversations.
Yeah.
So I do feel like maybe we've kind of found that magic number. So I mentioned originally people could find it through meetup.com. And I think it was that once you were invited to book club, and then if we kind of decided as a group that we had room for more people, then someone might be like, oh, hey, I've got this friend who I think would be a great addition. Like that's how I invited you to book club.
We kind of vet them though too. We like run it by people before but like, okay, this is why I think they'd be a good fit. We've had a couple conversations about books.
Right. And it's not trying to be judgmental, but like the dynamic of book club is like so important. And you really do want to bring people in that are going to be like committed to it. You know, a lot of people I think say they want to be part of a book club, but it's like, well, but have you heard your friend talk about books before? Like, do you think they really read or are they just like the idea?
Right.
Because we're kind of like all very committed and into it at this point.
Big readers. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So currently we're kind of at a good mix of personalities, I feel like, and a good number. We are at 8 members. I think definitely more than 10 gets to be too many.
Yeah.
And you end up just having a hard time keeping the conversation in one on one track and not having people feel like not everybody's listening to them or whatever. Yeah. And we definitely, I will say, have had in the past some personalities that have dominated. That are no longer with us. Not that we necessarily kicked out, but it just didn't, you know, it fizzled out. And we obviously didn't invite anybody new over the pandemic. So we've been kind of settled at this number for a while.
Yeah.
We were at 9 and one girl moved across the country. So she's still on our Facebook group. So she kind of reads along with us and comments, but not obviously showing up to meetings and stuff. But yeah, I feel like we are at a really good mix of different personalities, different interests even and like walks of life that everybody, that it's complementary now at this point. It's not like someone standing out as dominating the conversation or, you know, kind of maybe always in left field with their opinions. We were kind of all in this mix where it might surprise you how somebody thinks about a book, but you're not going to be like, whoa, I don't know if this is the book club for you.
Right. Yes, so exactly.
It's at a good spot right now.
Yeah, it really does feel like it is. So, okay, let's talk about when and where we meet. Let me give an overview in terms of originally and how it's changed over the years. So like you said, it's always been the second Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I do want to say, I think that having that consistent time to meet just really helps.
Yes.
The decision was made once,
yep,
and we're not coordinating like every single month.
And then nobody has to feel bad. You can either make it or you can't.
Exactly.
And yes, it is what it is.
Yes, exactly. Originally, we met at a Barnes & Noble, and I know Becky had gone in and asked, like, have a book club. Is that something, like, would that be okay if we came mm-hmm. and met at this time and got approval and everything? We would sit inside when it was too hot or cold, but we would sit outside at some tables that they had when the weather was nice. Then I can't remember when, I want to say maybe 2015, maybe 2014, there was interest in moving our meeting location. We had some members who used some more colorful language that we thought was maybe more appropriate for a bar. That's right. Not going to name any names. So we thought that might be more appropriate for a bar than Barnes & Noble. And some people also like the idea of being able to get food and drinks.
Yeah, get a food and drink.
Which is great. So we moved to an Irish pub that was conveniently in the same shopping center as the Barnes & Noble. It was like it was made for us. So there was a Irish guy who was the owner and he knew us. He would always come say hi to us and save a booth for us. And eventually I even had a plaque made that he installed for us at our booth. It said, good friends, good books, and a good drink, that is the ideal life. And that is a riff off of a Mark Twain quote.
Oh, so I love it.
Apologies to him. That was how and where book club met. And then there was a pandemic.
Then there was a global pandemic, which obviously changed the fact that nobody was going to restaurants for a while and actually, unfortunately, closed that pub.
Oh, R.I.P.
And so we are real sad about that. We did virtual for a couple of meetings at first, which was very hard.
It is hard.
It's very hard to have that many people in on one conversation over Zoom, as many of you know.
Yes.
It was also just a reminder of this mainstay in our month and our lives being so different. And it almost was harder to do it virtually than to not do it at all.
Right.
But so we kind of like limped along different levels of involvement depending on how cases were in our area.
Right.
We had a couple months where we met out in like the median, like the boulevard in front of Becky's house, and we're spread far apart.
Right.
We had a couple of masked meetings. It just depended on how things were going and everybody's comfort level. But I will say, even with that, I think that, you know, that was that felt really hard to navigate in every other group that I was in, friends and family wise. And with book club, it just felt like easy. Everybody come as you're comfortable.
Exactly.
Come, you know, if you're not, it's fine.
No
we'll
judgment.
Get back to normal eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, it didn't feel hard to say things like, hey, can we wear masks this time? Or I'm not going to make it. I'm just not comfortable. And everybody was at their own, you know, different levels at different times. And I felt like that was just a testament to kind of the respect that we've built there. And it felt really good. We are back to meeting regularly at Becky's house for now. It's getting real hot, so I don't know if she wants us inside, because we're kind of all outside just due to COVID. But now everybody is, I think, vaccinated or has had it, and we're good to go.
And Becky has a beautiful backyard, so it's made for a great setting. But even in the relative coolness of the evening, it can still be in the 90s or low hundreds.
And I'm thinking she probably would like us to move to a spot that she doesn't have to think about, you know, hosting either. But
So that is something for us to, I think maybe at this next book club, we'll kind of be looking out for other spots. It is tricky in terms of finding like a bar or restaurant to meet at. It has to be like good enough that you want to go there and order things, but not so good that it's going to be really packed.
Yeah.
You know
or,
what I mean?
Yeah, that you're going to feel bad for lingering for a while.
Yeah.
Or you want it loud enough that you can say swears and strong opinions.
Yes.
But not so loud that you can't have a conversation.
Exactly.
So we gotta test out a couple of new spots, I think.
So universe, we are looking for a new book club location, please. Please show us. Okay, let's talk about now how we have our discussion about the book. We already mentioned that you do not have to have finished or read the book even to come to book club. So it's just very welcoming, but you do know that we will be talking about the book.
So. Yeah. Okay. So each person has a turn, and when it is your turn to talk, we just usually go around in the circle. And I will say, I like that we have kind of fallen into this pattern of we have social time kind of at the beginning as everybody's arriving. You know, we're all having conversations about catching up on life. And then there comes a point where Becky always like, okay,
she's so, so great. Time to talk about the book.
And I will say, I think that it makes a big difference to have just the right amount of leadership.
I think so.
Especially with a group of women, because we're so conditioned. Nobody wants to be the one to like make the decision or speak out, and we want to be too nice all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's really good to have somebody. She's very much an Enneagram one, for those of you who know what that means. And she just, she has this way of like leading without being domineering at all, and just getting us, you know, kind of on track, making sure everybody has their say. So yeah, the expectation is that everyone gets a turn. And just even that expectation, I think, helps us stay on track. Because if you get too far off track, you're kind of aware like, oh, three people still haven't shared. I should rein it back in. You know what I mean? And so that helps out. Not that we never have like a side conversation, but that just helps kind of keep the meeting moving along. And then afterwards, we obviously all chat, or sometimes it devolves into like, you know, some topic that came up in the book that we all are just like floored by and have a long conversation about. But it's just the right amount of structure,
I
think.
It really is. And another thing I just so love about the structure, we have in the past had some personalities that were just dominated the conversation more. And I love this structure because it gives everyone their time.
Yep.
Like that way, even if you're like more soft-spoken or you're more shy, you are going to get your turn. And there have been times where some people or some personalities maybe don't want to share that much.
Yeah.
But I just think it's so important to give everyone that space, because I can see how if it was always just like, okay, let's start the discussion of the book, it really could get dominated by just a couple of people. And so I really, really value that.
I think that it feels a little like kindergarten-esque at first, and so people resist that. But I'm telling you, if you have a hard time with your conversations in book club, try like a everyone takes a turn format.
Oh, and I don't know if we said we always rate the book too. Yeah. We do a letter. We do a letter rating. And I feel like that just helps to like give a standard, a standardization across the board, even though someone's A could be different than someone else's A. It is just kind of fun to hear. So I do think having something like that, you could do star ratings, letter grades. Anyway, so I think that that's really fun too.
Yeah. Then your conversation tends to be like why you graded it that, instead of like having to have specific, you know, book club guide conversation.
Yeah. Let's talk next about how we pick books to read in book club.
Okay. So we have a hodgepodge of ways at this point. I'm not sure if it's always been like this, but pretty much since I've been in, it's kind of a mix of conversations in the group. Usually an all call before Christmas, especially Becky will be like, okay, let's think about our books for next year. And we'll just kind of discuss them in our Facebook group so that we can put them on gift wish lists or, you know, grab them on sale. And I will say Becky kind of has the final veto.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, like she'll hear the discussion about it. Then she's like, okay, well, let's do this one for March.
Right. Yep.
This one for April. And again, totally, totally helps. I think even, I mean, so we all kind of end up with one that was our pick, so to speak, because we're like, oh, I just grabbed this one on Kindle sale. Right. What do you think about this? Yep. And everyone gets on board. So yeah, it's not this pressure though to be like the one who chose the book that everybody hated.
Right.
It's kind of this general consensus. And we try to schedule out at least like 6 months in advance so that you can put in your library requests and, you know, grab them when you see them.
I really love it. I think a couple of things. I think it is so important to have someone who is going to make that final decision because trying to find a book that you all agree on is just too much work. And that's something I love about book club too, is being in a book club is going to get you to read books that you wouldn't pick up otherwise.
Yes.
So embracing that and like knowing that that is going to help you grow as a reader and as a person. So I really love that. And I also love knowing like pretty far ahead of time what books we're going to read, because I do most of my reading through the library. So I want lots of time. You know, I'm usually now not reading a book like often right before we're reading it for a book club. I've already read it a couple months prior or something. So I think that also just really helps give everyone lots of time to read the book, which, you know, helps you have a better book club if more people have had a chance to read the book. We do also have discussions specifically about scheduling kind of like our December book, our January book, because here's what we realized. Your December book, some people might be reading it like over Thanksgiving, over December, and then your January book, you might be reading it over Christmas.
Yeah.
So your January book shouldn't be like super grim, heavy book that you're reading over Christmas time.
Yeah. And like, which we kind of accidentally did.
Yes. I think we've accidentally done a few times and then learned our lesson. So I think we had this experience. I remember for a December book club. The book is called Loving Frank, and it's about Frank Lloyd Wright's life, kind of a fictionalized version, but a lot of it based on real life, and, you know, sounds like a great, like, kind of biographic book or whatever, you know, like pretty neutral in terms of for a December book. I mean, I won't spoil it, but there is a twist.
Yeah.
And it is not a Christmas book.
And so it's not a Christmassy twist.
No. We all just came to the book club being like, what just happened? And this was even when we'd had some like not great December picks, and we were like, we got it this time. Frank Lloyd Wright.
Romantic story.
Exactly. Yes. It's going to be perfect. Yes. And they were like, no, we've done it again. So.
Yeah. Another thing I will say is sometimes it's really good not to read anything about the book you're reading ahead of time. And sometimes a little heads up about some symbolism might be helpful.
Could be helpful.
So we read the book, The Underground Railroad. And before I even get into the story, I want to preface. I know that the Underground Railroad was not literally an underground railroad.
Right.
I know the general concept. But in this story, they very much like... purposely, it was an author's choice to very much make it like it was in a literal underground railroad, like descriptions of the underground little, you know, train cars that they were in
and,
or whatever.
And in a way that sounded realistic, not like this beautiful steam train locomotive crossing
like
the plains.
In these little carts that they would travel. Okay. So I also knew that there were definitely parts of the Underground Railroad that were literally underground.
Like tunnels, like hiding spots.
Needing to hide in root cellars, things like that. So I also think the thing about it is I listened to the book and I didn't. Sometimes when that happens, you don't pay quite as close of attention to the details, or you don't go back and reread things like, wait, what is this literal? Is this metaphorical?
Right.
So during the discussion of the Underground Railroad, I was like, me and Shannon, the other spicy one, were literally the only ones like, literally no underground parts of this story. It was just all above ground. Like, I know in general, and then it was like everyone cracking up and then us getting really defensive about like, no, I know that the Underground Railroad is just like.
You guys were like, now wait, was there really a train?
But it like took a minute to be willing to admit that we felt like there was a real train or a real system of tracks of some sort in this particular story. And it was this very. I don't know. It just was very funny because it was like, hey, heads up on the symbolism from here on out.
Yes, that was very funny. That was a very memorable book club. Okay, so how we coordinate now and keep in touch. So I mentioned we used to have a meetup.com site, but then we moved that to a private Facebook group. And so that just works really great for us. We're all already on Facebook. I will say, honestly, if it wasn't for book club on Facebook, I probably would be off Facebook, but it is worth it to me to be part of the group and just hop on there and use it for that. And that has worked really well for us. We schedule the events and, you know, can kind of chit chat in between book clubs and stuff like that. So, and last thing I'll say about logistics, I do feel like we have a few like special book club meetings or gatherings during the year. We have started having both the November and December book clubs at people's houses instead of having them like out. It's just like such a
cozy
nice time.
Season.
Yeah. It's such a nice time of year to like see people's houses decorated. You have in the past hosted the November book club and I have declared it to be pie book club.
Yep.
It's always like right before Thanksgiving. Yep. So it's a chance to try out your pie recipe. And so that has been really fun. And then at our December book club, we always meet at Becky's house. She has a beautiful house and we always do a favorite things gift exchange. So you just bring a little gift that's like $10 or $15 made up of one or more of your favorite things from the year. And I always love that. Way back in the day, we used to do an annual dinner and book swap.
Mm-hmm.
But then we kind of all stopped reading physical books so much.
Or if we get a physical one, it's from the library.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, and sometimes we'll do like a Galentine's Day brunch or dinner, mm-hmm. like around February. Mm-hmm. So, okay, something we started doing in July 2015, I checked our past events calendar, our annual book club retreats, which are really just taking a weekend trip together. Becky has a gorgeous second home in Sedona, which you can actually rent, mm-hmm. and we will include the link. It's mm-hmm. It's like on VRBO. And so that has been where we've always gone, with the exception of going to San Diego for our 10-year anniversary retreat. But Sedona, it's just, Becky has a beautiful home there. It's a 2-hour drive. Mm-hmm. It just works so well. So let's talk about our retreat trips in terms of what we do, how we plan them, why they're so great. So how, and we actually got it. Email about this recently, yeah. of someone planning a little book club yeah. retreat. I love. So how do we plan our retreats?
Okay. This is a lot like how we plan our books. I feel mm-hmm. like, again, Becky takes the lead.
Yes.
Mostly Thank because you, she is a vacation home owner in that spot. So she is great about knowing, I mean, she takes the lead in terms of a general direction, and we'll kind of chat about it on Facebook. Like, here's what I'm thinking. And then kind of okays it with everyone. She tends to make the dinner reservations, mm-hmm. which
she knows
highly recommend if you're in Sedona, because yes. it can be kind of hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
And then other than like the dinners out, like she kind of lets us know when we're eating out, then everyone brings what they want to eat, mm-hmm. drink, share. We don't do a lot of coordinating. We just yeah. all bring what we want, and everything is like, it's like a big community pile of yeah. way too much food
yes.
and drinks.
Yes.
Which is nice, because then we snack on that. We eat yeah. that for lunch. We will pack like a little creekside lunch for usually. At this point, we've kind of fallen into a habit of what mm-hmm. we do. Like this day we go to the creek or whatever. So we know we need to bring snack food and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But yeah, it just is like we make sure everybody has their preferences. I want to sleep in the master closet
right.
on my twin mattress because it's my perfect introvert yep. recharging time.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone kind of talks about the sleeping arrangements. But I think, again, this is one of those things. I don't typically love a trip with a group of women, to be quite honest,
mm-hmm.
because there's all this, like, we think way too hard about mm-hmm. everything as a general rule.
Right.
And it's nice to have a decisive mm-hmm. leader
mm-hmm.
who will just be like, okay, I'm thinking this, and yeah. everyone can go, great.
Right.
Sounds perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to have, again, a little direction for mm-hmm. the trip, but a lot of free time to just sit and chat.
Yeah.
So yeah, decision-making I think is key. If you try to do every single decision by committee
Oof.
With any group you're a part of, whether any it's a group, mom's group, a anything. Book club, work group.
Too exhausting.
It's crazy making. Everybody's like, I don't want to have 27,000 conversations about
yes.
this. So
yes.
highly recommend get you a Becky.
That's right. I know. I wish we could clone her and send her out to other book clubs. Yeah, it really helps so much. For me, being on vacation and relaxing is really all about not making decisions.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that mm-hmm. just so, so much. Kind of how our general weekends have gone, like the pattern that we've fallen into. We get there like midday to afternoon on a Friday, settle in, and then we usually have dinner reservations. On Saturday, we do a day at the creek. Becky always knows like just the right spot to mm-hmm. go. So we all pack like picnic lunches in coolers, bring our towels, bring our Kindles and our books, hang out at the creek all day, followed by hang out at the house, maybe naps, and then get ready, go out to dinner. And then always in the evenings, it's just casual hang out at the house, maybe play games. Mm-hmm. We've had some very fun times playing Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. And it needs to be a slightly inappropriate
it does. Mm-hmm. And this time we played What Do You Meme with all of the adult content cards. And oh my gosh, I was dying laughing.
Kelsey was dying laughing at her hand before she even put them down every time. She was so pleased with herself and her selection.
Oh, it was so fun. So yeah, and just talking, just hanging out. It yeah. really does feel like the perfect amount of planned things or knowing what we're going to do. But really, it's just for all of us to be there and just like be yeah. off duty and relax. Mm-hmm. So we're really all okay with, and I think our personalities too,
yeah.
just all go so well together. We're just all there to not have as much to do.
Yeah. And I feel like nobody feels like, okay, we need to all do this activity to be,
right.
or you're going to hurt feelings yeah. or whatever. Like I had a huge migraine the morning of the creek and was like, I can't do it, guys.
Yeah.
I'm laying here
yeah.
till this goes away. And then I'm going to read and relax.
Right.
And it was like, I feel like on other trips or a family trip, maybe you'd feel like, oh, I'm being the party pooper. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody do what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Join, don't join. Yep. It's all good.
Exactly. Sometimes in the past we have had like a bonus book to read. Our retreat doesn't take the place of our book club meeting that month. So sometimes we'll have like a bonus book and it's usually something like lighter or like a romance.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think a lot of times those books aren't the greatest discussion,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And then I think we're all just there to relax. And mm-hmm. so we usually do end up having discussion about books. It's,
totally.
But it's not like a formal time, yeah. like, and now we will talk about books.
Yeah.
But
I feel like we all have someone will start talking about books in mm-hmm. general that they're reading. There are times when we maybe only have the bandwidth to read the one book club mm-hmm. book for the month. But then I think we're all in a place where we're reading, you know, more outside of that mm-hmm. too. So we all kind of sit with our phones and our
yep.
Goodreads list yeah. and add recommendations and stuff. So that's kind of fun too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always great. And just so much fun. I already can't wait for the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a lot about our book club.
You're welcome.
But hopefully that is helpful if you are wanting to start a book club or feel like yours needs a little more structure or something like that. I can't recommend having a book club enough.
So oh, it's been, yeah.
It's been wonderful.
On so many levels. Yes. So good.
Okay, let's move on to obsessions. What are you obsessed with lately?
Okay, I am obsessed with a new meatless meatball, like party meatball.
Okay. Recipe. Party meatball.
Do you know how there's like a meatball in the crock pot going right. at many parties, at least Midwest yeah. parties.
That is a very Midwest thing.
Yes. So my sister is vegan,
okay.
vegetarian on and off too. And so is my brother and sister-in-law. So my sister brought this to our family 4th of July gathering in Wisconsin and it was so good.
Ooh.
Literally the best party meatballs I've ever had.
Whoa.
And they were meatless.
Whoa.
You could do them with meat if you wanted to, but little tip for you, okay. IKEA,
what?
Their frozen meatballs are delicious. They're meatless ones.
Really?
You literally cannot tell the difference, I don't think, gosh. Between them. Their regular like Swedish meatballs.
I didn't
and
even know they had a vegetarian version.
So good. So it's just 3 pounds of that.
Okay.
And she said she would next time maybe saute them because her friend had that gave her this recipe mm-hmm. had and it was a little bit better, but they were perfectly good just dumped in the crock pot with a jar of sauerkraut.
Mm.
This recipe gets real Wisconsin real
yeah,
quick.
It does.
A jar of Heinz chili sauce.
Mm-hmm.
The sauerkraut undrained, by the
okay.
way. It adds to the sauce. A jar of cranberry sauce or
Whoa.
A can of cranberry sauce and about 1/4 cup of brown sugar.
Mm.
And it makes for this like spicy, sweet and sour meatball that is so delicious. I can't even describe it.
That
Your
sounds
house
so good.
Will smell like sauerkraut.
My mouth is watering, but yes.
Oh, they're so good. So, so good. They that also were delicious on like a bun with some mozzarella cheese
yes.
as like a meatball bomber.
Ooh.
They're really, really good.
Well, that sounds delicious. I am obsessed with my new J. Crew linen pants. I'm actually wearing them.
Oh,
can I get up
yes.
and show them to you?
I didn't notice your pants when you came in. Those look lovely. Wait, is this a linen jogger?
It's not a linen jogger, but they are
just cropped.
Not quite fitted. They are cropped a little bit.
Okay.
It's like that really great, like
yes.
low calf above the ankle.
Uh-huh,
that
7/8.
I find very flattering, works very well for me. And just gives you a little bit more breeze in this hot weather. They are linen, so they're nice and lightweight. There's a drawstring waist mm-hmm. and they're like high waisted.
Mm-hmm.
And the cut is just they're like roomy enough that they're comfortable, but tailored enough that I feel more polished.
Like not pajamas.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I am absolutely loving
they're
them.
Super cute.
I got them from J. Crew Factory and then immediately like ordered another color because I do see myself, thank you, wearing these through the summer into the fall. And this
yeah.
has just solved the problem. In the summer, I do sometimes still want to wear like some pants.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear shorts or a
Every
skirt
time.
All mm-hmm. the time. But my jeans were just, I was so
Too
hot.
Much.
I
yeah.
could not handle it.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to stick to your seat.
Yeah.
With the back
Sometimes.
Of your thighs.
Mm-hmm. Turns out. So anyway, we're recommending the
All
linen
right.
pants. All right. That wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. You can find us in between shows on Instagram where we are Hi Girls Next Door. And you can find our Girl Next Door podcast page on Facebook. You can send us an email at higirlsnextdoor@gmail.com. And you can find the show notes for this episode in your podcast player and on our website, girlnextdoorpodcast.com.
Thanks so much for dropping in. Until next time, be neighborly.
starting. So that's
good
why
to know.
That's why we're not podcasting yet. I'm going to bring us in. Take it away, Kelsey. And what about, nope. See? Look at me. Look at me.
Look at you pulling in, Erica.
totally forgot what you said. All right, here we go. Becky started the book club.
Hold.
Yep.
Did I let Buddy back in?
Oh, he's right here. Yes. Okay, Donut like, Man.
Don't want to leave him out in the heat.
Donut Man is over here with me.
Okay. Sorry.
Being a really good podcast companion.
He is. Okay, so currently I feel like we're at a really good number. We're at 9 right now and a good mix of personalities.
No, 8.
Oh, 8. You literally just told me that.
Wow. But the number is
8. I like how you whispered it like they wouldn't hear you. No, Erica, it's 8. For the love of God. I counted 3 times. Okay, back it up.
The owner knew us there. He would save a booth for us. Mm-hmm. He was an Irish guy and eventually...
The way you put it.
He was also Irish. That's fine. There we go. I'm like having a really hard time with transitions lately. Why am I so abrupt?
So abrupt. Great.
I don't know. Maybe it's this new equipment. I don't know. This like this.
I don't know what to do with this screen in front of my face.
Oh my gosh. So awkward. Awesome.
Did it.
Full stop.
Full stop. Abrupt. Abruptly awesome.
Not transitioning us to a new segment at all. Just not going to help with that. That's on you. Oh my gosh.